Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Tzadi Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Vov. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a mivneh, a structural note. A double underline is featured, and you'll see that it highlights the expression kol malachas, different functions or activities that one performs for another. Number one, almona labailo, an isha labailo, a wife for a husband. And the Gemara will continue on what is the case if the husband is dead and she becomes an almona, so it becomes then almona liorshim. The functions of an almona, a widow, to the heirs, to her husband's heirs. Another point will be mentioned in the Gemara, all malachas that a Talmud does for his Rebbe, for his Torah teacher. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yosei Bar Hanina. Kol malachos shel isha oisa labailo, almona oisa liorshim. All activities that a wife does for her husband, a widow will perform for the heirs. Chutz mimezigas hakois v'atzoa samita, with the exception of these activities, the filling up of a cup of wine, the making of the beds, and harchotzes ponav yodav raglov, and the washing of the face, arms, and legs. These are malachas that are associated with chiba. Chiba meaning endearment or affinity. That's what we would like to advance in the case of a wife and husband, but of course, no need for that in the case of the almona and the yorshim. And not only, I say no need for it, but we don't want a sense of affinity, of intimacy being developed between the almona and the heirs. Omar of Yeshua ben Levi, kol malachas shel eved oisa l'rabo, all activities that a slave does for his master, talmid oisa l'rabo, a student is expected to do for his rebbe, for his rabbi, chutz mehatoras minah, with the exception of taking off his shoes. If a student takes off his rabbi's shoes, people will come to the conclusion that this is a slave. Omar Rava lo amoron, this restriction regarding shoe removal on the part of a student is ela b'mokav shein makirin oiso. That's only where he's in a place that no one knows him. Avo b'mokav shein makirin oiso, where he is known, less lanba, then we're not fear of any wrong conclusions. They know who he is. They know he's not a slave. And they know that he's taking off the shoes of his master, of his his rabbi, his Torah teacher. Omar Ravashi, uvamokim shein makirino sonami lo amoron ela delo monach tefillin. Even in a place where he's not recognized as a student of the rabbi, nevertheless, the restriction of removing the shoes is only if he's not wearing tefillin. Avol monach tefillin, if the individual happens to be the student, is wearing tefillin, less lanba, then we have no objection. Very simply, because a slave would not be wearing tefillin. Omer b'chia bar abo, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. And we have a new topic, and on the side it's a brief topic as far as the length of Gemara that's dedicated to it, but on the side we've written Kol HaMoneya Talmido Milashamsho. What is our attitude toward to Rabbeim, to teachers, to rabbis that prevent their students from serving them? So Omar Rab Chia Bar Abba, Omar Rab Yochanan, Kol HaMoneya Talmido Milashamsho, any Rebbe who prevents his student from serving him, Ki'ilu Moneya mimenu chesed. It's as if you're preventing chesed, loving kindness from the student. In other words, this is an opportunity for the student to gain merit, to gain the merit of chesed, so that it's ultimately to the student's advantage for him to be able to serve the Rebbe. And if the Rebbe resists that, so he's preventing the merit of chesed from coming from the student. Shnemar, lamos mereu chesed. Rashi presents two approaches in how to understand this particular pasuk, but for our purposes, without getting into the nitty gritties of how you see that in the words, the pasuk is telling us that point, that you're withholding the merit of chesed from your fellow man, and by not allowing him to serve you. Rav Nachman Golmar, af porik menu yirat shamayim. You're even further than withholding the merit of acts of loving kindness. You're also causing him to shirk the yoke of heaven from upon him. Shenemar, the continuation of that pasuk says, v'yiras shakai ya'azov, the fear of Shakai, of the Almighty, he will abandon. So it's for the ultimate benefit of the student to serve his Rebbe, that gives him the opportunity to amass merit of loving, the merit of loving kindness, plus it enables him to appreciate, to grow in the realm of God-fearingness, of what we call Yiras Shamayim. In other places, you see that the pasuk says Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, and the Gemara darshins that pasuk Es, which the essence of the pasuk is to be God fearing, and the word Es is darshined Larabos Talmidei Chachamim, so that you see a connection between the service of Talmidei Chachamim and the development of this attribute known as being God fearing. The Gemara continues with a new topic. You can see a slash mark indicates a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written, Almona Shetofsa Metaltalin Shel Hayesoimim. A widow that grabs, that takes hold of the portables of the orphans or the heirs. Lemezonos Leksuba, for her daily food maintenance and for her Ksuba. Now, we are working with a basic assumption that an almona, a widow, is entitled to a support and her ksuba payment from land that is left by her husband. Here, in this sukkah, we're going to be focusing not on the land, which is the letter of the law, but what about portables? Omar Rabbi Elazar, almona shetofs metaltim zinuseha, an almona that grabs, that takes hold of portables for her daily needs, her food needs, masha tofsa tofsa, that which she grabs, she grabs. We don't take it away from her, even though we've already mentioned that the mizonos of an almona provided from sale of land, not portables. But if she grabs it, she grabs it. It's considered it's considered hers for sale for mezonos purposes, and we don't take it away from her. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Elazar's ruling. Almona shetofsa metaltlin b'mezonosel, ma shetofsa tofsa. V'chein ki osa Rav Dimi Omar ma'ase b'kalosel shereb Shabsai shetofsa diskiom le'amois. There was an incident involving the daughter-in-law of this Rabbi Rav Shabsai that took hold of a diskia. It's a leather sack full of cash. The rabbis did not have the legal strength to remove it, to take it away from her. Omar Ravina Velo Amoron Elul Mezoni. This idea that we don't take it away from her, that's only with regard to mizonos, for her daily food needs. Avol ksuba mafkino mino, but for her ksuba payment, if she had grabbed hold of portables as a means of paying, of collecting her ksuba, we will take them away from her. Maskiflo marav Ravashi. Ravashi asks, maishno l'ksuba what's different about the ksuba de mimikar koi velo mimetatali? We say that the ksuba is paid for through land, through real estate, and not through metatalin. Mizonos nami mi mikar koi velo mimetatali. The same standard applies to food. Elo limizoni mai de tofsa tofsa. Rather, we saw before that with regard to mizonos, that which she takes, she's able to keep. Hachinami l'ksuba, so too with regard to ksuba. So that you have Ravina and more of Ravashi arguing regarding the tfisa of metatlin for ksuba. Omer le Rav Yitzchok bar Naftali le Ravina. Hachi amrinon mishmei derava kavosech. Rav Yitzchok tells Ravina that we have a tradition in the name of Rava like you say. Namely, that if she grabs metatlin toward her ksuba payment, we will take them away. She has no right to metatlin for ksuba. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishmei to Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. We should point out, we have a slash marking, as you can see in your marked Gemaras. And by the way, if you are interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. On the side of the Gemara, you see a nosei, a topic heading. It reads, Almona Sheshoasa Shnaim Shlosh Shonim Velo Tovo Mizonos. And Almona, she's a widow that is living in the midst of her husband's heirs. And she hasn't sought any mizonos payment, any food payment, for 2 or 3 years. Ibda mizonosel, she loses any claim to the mizonos, shel oisam shonim shelo tova, regarding the years that have gone by that she hasn't claimed mizonos for. In other words, there's no retroactive collection at that point. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yochanan mishmei Rav Yossi ben Zimra. Almona shishoaso shtayim shalushan velotova mizonos, an almona, a widow that has tarried, she delayed 2-3 years and did not seek out mizonos from her husband's estate, ibda mizonos, she loses mizonos. The Gemara asks regarding these numbers, 2-3 years, hashta shtayim ibda, after a mere 2 years she loses the rights, shalosh mibaya. Do I need to be told that if she waits 3 years? Certainly. If after 2 years she loses out, certainly if she waits longer, lo kashya. This is not a difficulty. In other words, the statement of 2 years and 3 years is necessary. Kan baniya, kan ba'ashira. If you're dealing with a woman who is poor, so then after 2 years, she will be considered as forfeiting her mizonos. However, if she is a woman of means, she has her own wealth, then we will assume that she was able to maintain herself with her own funds for 3 years, and she could hold out for 3 years. But after 3 years, even if she's an ashira, she is thereby forfeiting the mizonos. Inami, another resolution, kan befrutza, kan betznua. Here it's a psychological difference. If the woman is prutza, the word prutza would mean a woman who is non-embarrassed. She's a woman that is forthright. So if we would expect her to put a claim in for the mizonos and not be embarrassed or bashful in seeking out mizonos. So we say if 2 years have gone by for this woman who's generally speaking unabashed in her demeanor, so why did she not put a claim in for the mizonos other than the conclusion that she is forfeiting it? However, if she's a tsenua, a woman who is bashful, who's reticent, Rashi says boishalovoy lebeisdin, she would be embarrassed to come to court. So 2 years does not amount to her forfeiting. Rather, 3 years. After 3 years, she would be forfeiting it. Amar Rava v'lamar nela mafreya. This idea of foregoing the mizonos is only with regard to the years that have passed. Avol habo yeshla. But beyond that, in terms of the future, she still is entitled to receive mizonos. As you can see, a slash mark appears, and that indicates a new trend of thought. On the side of the more, we have a no say, a topic heading. We also indicate that this is a long topic. It continues till Daf Tzadi Zayin. Shelas Rabbi Yochanan, Nichse Habal B'cheskes Mi. Rabbi Yochanan will be asking the question, the properties left by a deceased husband, in whose control are they considered? B'cheskes Yisoimim, are they considered under the control of the heirs? Is it considered in their possession? Oh, b'cheskes Ho'almona, or is it considered in the possession of the widow? Nafkamina, the point of difference in this analysis, Almi lohovi raya imyesh vikuach b'neim, who upon whom is the burden of proof going to be if a controversy arises between them? Heim toanim, if they claim nosanenu loch demei mezonos shoshana haba, we have paid you this upcoming year's mezonos, v'hi toanes lo natalti, and she claims I didn't receive anything. So, depending on who is muhsik on it, it's the one in whose possession it is considered. So the burden of proof is on the other party. We have a rule: hamotzi mechaveiro all of araya. If you're extracting, you're taking away from. So you are changing the accepted status quo. So you, as being the one who's changing the status quo, you're changing the chazoka, so the burden of proof is upon you. So it's important for us to establish in whose possession is the property of the deceased husband. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan, Yusoimim Omrim, Nosanenu, Yusoimim, meaning the heirs claiming we paid your mezonos for this coming year, V'hi Omeris Lo Natalti, and she says in response, the widow says in response, I didn't receive anything. Ami Lahavi Raya, upon whom is the burden of proof? And here the Gemara gives you the two sides, two possibilities. Aleph, and you can see the next line, the squiggle line, O Dilma Beis. Do we say that the nechosim, that the property is in the possession of the heirs, and it's upon the almona, the widow, to bring proof, and as long as she doesn't bring witnesses, then she cannot collect. Or do we say that the nechosim, the property, is considered in her possession? Rashi points out because she has a lien on his properties based on the court preconditions that we call the Tanai based in. It's a legal enactment that she has a lien on his property. So that maybe that grants her the chazoka, the status of being the possessor of his properties. And if that be the case, then it would be upon the Yesomim to bring a proof to their claim that they had already paid. Toshma, so we try to conclude this by citing the following. The Tani Levi. Levi teaches the following Tanaic source. Almona, Kosman Shalonises, a widow, as long as she hasn't remarried, Al Hayesomim Lahavi Raya. The burden of proof in matters of controversy is upon the heirs. Niseis, if she marries and now she's coming to put a claim in for the mezonos for past years, aleha lahavi raya, then and only then do we say she has to bring the proof. Once she remarries, it's clear everyone agrees that the property of her first husband is no longer in her control. So you see from this source, though, as long as she has an almona status, the status of a widow, the property is considered in her control. Omar of Simi Bar Ashi Ketanoi. Note that we have a long question marking. That is a long point marking. Rav Simi claims that the issue is a machlokes tanoim, and that's followed by a dechia, a rejection, and you'll see that it's a long rejection. And they're actually like, they're two parts or two angles with which the Gemara presents the rejection, but we'll get to it then. But as far as structure is concerned, you can see ahead of time that this the balance of this omer is basically two points. One, that of Rav Simi Barashi, then following that, a rejection, which will take us to the top line of Tzadi Zayin Omer Aleph. So now we continue with the Gemara. Rav Simi telling us that this issue is a machlokas tanoim. Mocheres v'koseves. This, we also want to note that this is a brisa. Generally speaking, in our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, we don't emphasize the difference between a Mishnah and a Brisa. We refer to them generally, in general terms, as Tanaic sources, and that's what the frame marking represents throughout the Shas Ozer, the Mark Gemaras that you're using. Nevertheless, in this particular Sukya, the distinction will be highlighted between this source, the Brisa, and later on the page, a Mishnah. So in this Brisa, we see the following. That a widow sells her husband's properties and she writes, Elu limazonos mecharti, ve'elu l'ksuba mecharti. These parcels of land I sold as a means of getting cash for my mezonos needs, and these parcels of land I sold for my ksuba payment. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the almona, we'll say the burden of proof is upon the almona. She has to indicate what the sales are for. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Moicheres v'kosevis stam v'chein koche yofe. She doesn't have to delineate what each property was sold for. She can sell without any specification. It's for either or, obviously. It's for mezonos or for ksuba, but she doesn't have to specify. And with this approach, her strength is increased. Now that phrase, v'chein kachiyofa, will be explained later. So we have Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yossi. My lav behal kumifli. What is it not so that in the following they argue? The Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar boy, she quoted Rabbi Yehuda that the Almona, the widow, is burdened with specifying. Sovar, he adopts the opinion, Nichsi Becheskas Yasmi Kaimi. The properties are in the possession, are said to be under the control of the Yisayimim. Va'almona, Lavi Rayan, it's upon the Almona to produce proof what she was selling for. The Rebbe Yossi Sovar, Loboy Lefrush, Rebbe Yossi, who holds she does not have to delineate or specify what the sale was for, is of the opinion, Nichsi Becheskas Almona Kaimi. The properties are considered in the possession and they're under the control of the Almona. Val Yisayim Avi Ryan, if the Yisomim have any question as to her activities, the burden of proof is upon them. At this point, the Gemara starts a long rejection. In other words, a rejection of what Rav Simi Barashi claimed that the issue is a machlokas tanoim. The Gemara says not so. And if you see we have triangles highlighting the expression de kule alma. De kule alma means agreement between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. They agree, but as to what they agree, you'll see two. We've written on the side under the mivneh heading where the triangles are featured, maskonas hafuchos, opposite conclusions. Of course, if you say that they agree, they both agree on regarding the matter of chazaka. The opposite element is that in the first triangle, they'll all agree that it's becheskas almona. According to the second triangle, they'll all agree it's becheskas yasmi. The question that will have to be dealt with, that if they agree regarding the matter of chazaka, so what is their controversy based on? There is a controversy. Reviewed is saying, expressing the necessity of delineating, of specifying, and Rabbi Yossi saying not necessary. So now the Gemara continues with the rejection. Mimai, who says that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda And Rabbi Yossi is on this topic of becheskas mi, in whose possession are the properties. Dilma dekuli alma nichsi becheskas almona kaimi. Maybe everyone will agree, namely Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi will agree, that the properties of the deceased husband are considered in her domain, under her control. The ayasum of Iraya, and if there's any controversy that arises, everyone will agree that the yasumim have to bring proof. Now, for Rabbi Yehuda said that she has to spell out why she sells things. It's not an indication of any weakness that the almona has per se. The nechosim are under her control. Eitzah tova kamash malan. It's simply a piece of good advice. The lo likru lo rafsanusa. So that she shouldn't be called by derogatory nicknames. Rafsanusa, it sounds even like the English word ravenous. That if a woman is selling properties and selling and selling and selling, people could think that she's selling it all for her food purposes and that she simply is a consumer of large quantities of food. And that creates a bad reputation. Rashi, an interesting point here. Maybe it's obvious, but it's nice to see it inside in the text. Rashi says at the lower part of the narrow lines, lo liku lo rafsanusa. One who sees her selling all of these lands, all of these parcels of property, the thought could arise that she's selling it for food purposes. That creates a name, a reputation, establishes a reputation that she's a ravenous type person that consumes a lot. Veshuv ein odom no son. That will be bad for her shidduch possibilities. No man will want to marry her. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, the properties are in control of the almona. It's just a piece of good advice to specify what the different properties were sold for, leaving room for people to see a distinction. Not everything was sold for food. Some of the properties were sold for her ksuba payment, so she thereby avoids being ridiculed as a Rav Sanusa. So this approach to Rabbi Yehuda is as we call an Eitzah Tova. D'i lo tema achi. If you don't say introduce this idea of a Eitzah Tova, well, how the boy Rabbi Yochanan's question, which is the question we're dealing with, becheskas mi, in whose possession are the properties, tifshot le mimasnisen. Rabbi Yochanan could have concluded that from the Mishnah, and a Mishnah is a if it proves something, it's the worthy source of proof. So if Rabbi Yochanan is raising a question, he wouldn't raise a question concerning a matter that the Mishnayos have already established as cut and dry. Well, what does the Mishnah say? Mishnah on Tzadi Zayin Omid Beis. It says as follows. This is a Mishnah later on. Mocheres Lemazonos Shaloba Beisdin. An almona can sell property for her food needs outside of the court. And she writes, I sold these properties for my food needs. Now, if we just looked at this source and the question was asked, who is in control? And she has to delineate, so you would think that it's in the control of the assignment, and it's a burden of proof is upon her. And yet Rabbi Yochanan asked the question. Rabbi Yochanan did not cite the Mishnah as a source of resolving the question. Why not? He couldn't base a response on the Mishnah. The Mishnah is simply telling a piece of good advice, namely that she should delineate why she's selling a specific piece of property so as not to create the impression that everything is sold for her food needs, so as not to be called a Rav Sanusa. Hochinami, so too, with regard to Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa above, you can't use that to prove in whose possession are the properties, because even though Rabbi Yehuda speaks about her delineating what she sold for what purpose, it's simply Eitzah Tova Kamashna. It's not a reflection on her not being in control. She is in control. But it's to her advantage to document why each property was sold so as not to be considered a Rav Sinusa. Inami, another approach, another way to be doiche the claim made by Rav Simi Barashi that the issue of Becheskas Miha Nechosim is a Machlokas Tanoim, not so. Inami Dekulei Alma Nechsi Becheskas Yasmi Kami. Everyone will agree. Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi will say that the Nechosim are in the control of the Yesoimim. Well, if it's in the control of the Yesoimim, Vahainu Taimo Rav Yossi, and if it's in the control of the Yesoimim, so how is it that she, the Almona, is able to sell properties without delineating? Well, to understand that is Kid Abaye Kshisha, based on Abaye Kshisha's teaching. The Omar Abaye Kshisha, Moshe de Rav Yossi, the Moda Vadoima, the Rav Yossi Shita of selling properties without specifying what was sold for Mezonos, what was sold for the Ksuba, the Moda Vadoima, to what can that be compared? The Shchivmer Ashomar Tanu Mosayim Zuz Leploni Baal Chovi. A person who's on his deathbed and he says, give 200 zuz to so-and-so, Ploni, mentions his name, Baal Chovi, my lender, the one who lent me money. So the name who was specified, in, after they said Leploni, the name that was specified, that we'll call that receiver, Rotsa B'chovi Notlan, Rotsa B'matona Notlan. He has a choice. He can take the 200 zuz as payment of his debt, or as a mere gift. Im b'maton, the Gemara continues at the top of Tzadi Zayinom et Aleph, the top line, im b'matona notlon, if he should take it as a gift, lo kach yofa kocho, does that not in fact increase his strength? Does that not in fact benefit him? Because if the receiver took it as a mere gift, he now has a chance to still collect an additional 200 as payment of the debt that was owed to him by this deathly ill individual. So that what we gain by seeing, we'll say, sales of property in a stam fashion that empowers the one who is selling it. It's advantageous for the seller. It's as if saying, yes, there is that risk of being called ravenous. However, there's a greater gain to be had by not specifying why properties were sold. The Rashi at the top explains how we can see the benefit for the almona by selling stam. But the main point is that it could very well be that the nechosim are in the possession of the yesaimim, and that doesn't contradict the idea of her selling the properties without specifying. You might ask, now we're just reviewing what we've said, you might ask, but if it's in the possession of the yesaimim, and she's selling the properties, wouldn't she still have what to gain by specifying why they were sold? So, in order not to be called ravenous, so we say to that, no, she has more to gain by selling it stam. And now, what is there for her to gain? And again, just I know we're saying this maybe the third time, this is all under the rubric of the nechosim being becheskas yasmi. Rashi at the top line of Tzadi Zayin Amad Aleph, im notlon b'matona lo kach yofa koichoi sheyuchal litrof lukuchos al hachov. If the person received this gift from the Shchiv Meira as a mere gift, that leaves open the continued collection of the debt. And collection of a debt involves possibly going to Lukuchos, purchasers, in the event that there's no money in the estate of this person who's saying give the 200 zuz to so-and-so, so then the receiver, if it's as an effort to collect a debt, that he had once, that this receiver once loaned money to the giver who is now deceased, he has a lien on his properties. He can go to purchasers who purchased property after this fellow had extended a loan to the now deceased individual. So Rashi says, "Yuchal litrof lekuchos al hachov, velo yuchal litrof al matona." If, let us say, the receiver took the 200 zuz as payment for the debt, so he can't turn to lekuchos for receiving a gift. Af zu al hamazonos lo tuchal litrof lekuchos al aksuba titrof oisam. So too with regard to the almona. By her not specifying, so she can say that that which was sold was for mazonos purposes, and it was, she was selling her husband's property for mazonos, and as far as the ksuba is concerned, she still has a ksuba debt, and if need be, she could collect the ksuba debt from purchasers. Rashi continues, and if you should say, well, can't the Yisomim, can't the heirs put up a claim that you sold everything for your ksuba, and that's it, you've got your ksuba, she could preempt that claim made by the Yisomim and say that and set up witnesses that see that what she's selling for mazonos purposes. And if she needs to maintain the position that she had not yet received the ksuba, she will then call on the witnesses to testify that the sales that she's made till now were not for her ksuba; they were for mazonos. Ve'es hanimkar l'ksuba lo sodia. And as far as that which was sold, if she sold any of the properties for her ksuba, that she wouldn't inform anyone of that, so as to keep open the possibility of her to collect the balance from lekuchos, from people that purchased. And once again, that's the advantage of having the sales done stam without being specified. Because once it's specified that she sold the properties, let's say for a ksuba payment, she has no further, she won't be able to claim from the lekuchos any food payments. I know that we might not have emphasized it enough, but for mazonos, she doesn't have a right to collect from lekuchos. Rashi made that point on the second line from the top. But for ksuba, a woman has the right to collect from lekuchos. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.